Thank you. Good morning again. So we're continuing with our penultimate session in binding and loosing. Helpful? Been a useful session? Seems a lot of people have got a lot out of this. So today and next time, we're going to swing the focus entirely on the role of the Holy Spirit in binding and loosing and bring some clarity to that. So let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to do this. Thank you that we sit here possessing a copy of the scriptures on our hand, in our books, in our devices, whatever it is, Lord, that we have, when so many in this world do not have that freedom. Lord, we're grateful. Thank you, Lord, that we have a roof over our head this morning. Thank you, Lord, for so many things, Lord. We pray for those who are not here this morning, for the members of our family who are unable to be with us. Bless them, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. And bless us, Lord, as we look to really just have your word land deeply in our being. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so pin your ears back and let's begin the adventure. If you're listening to this on the web, then you're welcome too. So far we've been looking at the whole idea of what is binding and what is loosing. Jesus says, do you remember, when a strong man fully armed guards his possessions, then you need to do something about that. You need to bind him before you plunder his house. And we looked at that, and we looked at some of the negative connotations and the positive connotations. We saw how we bind that which God binds in heaven, and we loose that which God looses in heaven. Okay, and we saw how this idea that a strong man fully armed, that word armor, is only used in two places in the Bible. The word armor is used hundreds of times in the Bible, but that particular Greek word panoplia is only used twice there, the strong man fully armed, and also when the Bible talks about the armor of God in Ephesians. And it means in this context a set of life conditions. And we saw how that the armor of God is a set of life conditions that allows the things of God to work in your life and prevents the assignments of the enemy to disrupt that. And we saw how the armor of the strong man is designed to prevent and disrupt the things of God working in our life. And we spent some time looking at that. Okay, how's that for a recap? Does that feel about right? Okay. So today we want to talk about the Holy Spirit being the power validating the believer's authority. I have a wonderful new torch. I'm all excited. It's a great thing. And it's one of these little LED things. It's about this size, and you plug it in and you can see to the moon and back. It's a great gadget, right? And indulge me, I'm easily pleased. I'm the guy who's excited when you get a pencil sharpener in your Christmas cracker. I think that's a great gift. I've still got it, and it sits on my desk. And so my little torch is absolutely fantastic. But you know what? Unless I connect it to a source that powers it, then it's really, at best, only useful as a paperweight. But the beauty of it is when you plug it in and connect it and it charges, the power that's in it is designed to be portable. So I can unplug it and take it pretty much anywhere I want, and it works. Now there's a great kind of parallel there in our Christian life. When we connect with the Lord, when we plug in to the Holy Spirit, when we allow him to energize our lives, okay? That's a portable situation, because that means we can go anywhere, into any situation, with his power within us to do the will of God in that situation. Now, there are three particular stages here that we want to look at. Okay, there they are on the screen. So if you're listening on audio, we have three stages, and the first is this. There is a waiting stage. Secondly, there's a Holy Spirit baptism stage. And thirdly, there's a filled with the Spirit stage. Now let's walk through these together. First of all, Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. He was speaking to his disciples for a particular event that had yet to happen. He is not telling us to wait for the coming of the Spirit. The Spirit has come. That's what Pentecost was all about. All right? So we are not tarrying, waiting for the Spirit to come. He's come. He's here. He's available. And sometimes we use silly language in church. We say things like, wow, the Holy Spirit showed up today. Really? Where do you think he's been? He is God, and God is omnipresent. He's always been here. He was here before we arrived. He'll be here whilst we're here, and he'll be here after we've gone. And he actually came with you this morning, and he'll go home with you this morning as well. Isn't that amazing? So we've got to get out of the habit of trying to sensationalize something that's way better than that and get a hold of it. So here we are. So the waiting bit, right? We're not called to wait for the promise of the Father. He has come. Jesus has promised us that we will be filled with the Spirit. So the next bit is really important to us. The actual Holy Spirit baptism. Look at our second slide. Here it comes. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay? Now, you will be, not might be, not could be, not some of you, not can be. You will be. That is the purpose of God here, that you will be his witness. Now, if you're here this morning and you do not think this applies to you, wake up. This is a call to every single believer. We will be his witness. And the ability to witness and the method of witnessing is as varied as there are people. Okay? So we've got to get away from this mindset that somehow we've all got to rush out and buy a packet of tracts and go and pester people with tracts. That's a way of witnessing, but it's not the most effective way of witnessing. Just being yourself and allowing God to shine through you is the most effective way of witnessing. There is barely a situation I find myself in that does not land on people asking me something about my faith. Just let Jesus shine through you. So are you ready to be his witness? And the filling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, is not something for those weird Pentecostals like Ken. Okay, well it is actually. And it's not something that just happened way back then for those early believers. It is for all of us. All of us. And then Jesus says that we will be filled with the Spirit. Third slide, please. In Acts 4, 30 to 31, he says, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Beg pardon. This is the prayer that's been made. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. There you go. A bunch of people in a prayer meeting filled with the Holy Spirit. Incredible. Not really. That's what God had promised. The word shaken is a fantastic word. It's the same as the word that's used when Jesus comes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Do you remember? The donkey, the palm leaves, the hosannas, all that sort of background that we're so familiar with. But the Bible says the city was stirred. And that's the same word. And it means like a seismic sensation. You could feel it in the air. Now, I've never lived through an earthquake, but I know lots of Californian friends who have. And they tell me, and some Albanian friends too, they tell me that you can feel a difference in the air when there's an earthquake. Now, I've never experienced that. You may have. But apparently that's something that happens. It's a seismic sensation that's happening. That's what happened here. The room was shaking. It doesn't mean that everyone's, whoa, going like this. It means, wow, something's going on here. We can really sense this. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. The filling of the Spirit is an ongoing again and again and again experience that happens to us. Okay, God will baptize us with His Spirit, and He'll fill us again and again and again. And often we talk, and again we get absolutely silly, and you know that you're talking to a real babe in Christ when they say things like this. Well, we need filling again because we're leaky vessels. Now, you know you're talking to someone who doesn't know their Bible when they speak like that. Why on earth would we want to waste something as precious as God's Spirit? No, it's a sponge analogy. Do you remember my story? When I used to travel, I used to stay in Premier Inns. Other venues are available. And I liked it because you could see the telly from the bath. And after a long conference, to lie in a bubble bath and watch the telly, just... Well, anyway, enough said about that. And then they rearranged the rooms, and many of them went to showers instead of baths. And I remember once in the shower, and I got a sponge, and I wrung it out in the back of my neck, and oh, it's a wonderful sensation, the warm water running down your neck. When you're tired, it's very late at night, you've been standing on your feet at a podium for a long time, and oh, it's a glorious sensation. And then I did it again, and that's when the Lord spoke to me, and He said, Ken, this is exactly what being filled with the Spirit's about. When you are soaking, you wring it out, and I'll fill it again. So that you wring it out, and I'll fill it again. And the filling of the Spirit is not for you to get all charismatic. It's for you to serve and bless others, to be Jesus to other people. And He'll fill you again. And many of us never serve because we're scared we'll never have that again. Ring it out and let Him fill you up again and again and again. So apostolic preaching, okay, then, is not just about using words. It involves power with signs and wonders following. Let me read you something. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 8. And this is not on the slides. So Matthew chapter 8 and verse, let's have a look. We'll start at verse 28. And this is the story of the pigs. And we all know this so well, but it would serve us to just look at it this morning. You ready? Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 28. When He, that's Jesus, when He arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met Him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus, if you drive us out, send us in to the herd of pigs. And he said, go. And they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd run down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off and went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. It's a great story, and there's all sorts of directions you can go with this story. But I think what's helpful is to think of it like this. Jesus comes to this particular place. Here are two men who are possessed by demons. And they're violent characters, so they're renowned in that area. And undoubtedly, they've done a lot of violence to a lot of people. The minute they see Jesus, these spirits within them are terrified and shout out, have you come to torment us and torture us, Jesus? Let us go into the pigs. Now, here's the clever bit. What if the thinking was, we'll nip into these pigs, and then when the next unsuspecting person comes along, we'll just jump into him or her? Could have been. Agreed? Might have been. And so Jesus says, okay, let's see what happens. And they go into the pigs and they run down and the pigs drown. Let me tell you something, pigs are excellent swimmers. There are some parts of the world where you can, on your holiday, go and swim with the pigs. It's true. It's absolutely true. They are wonderful swimmers. So there's something wrong here, isn't there? And that's why I think this was a satanic strategy to actually ambush some other person who was in a region they shouldn't have been in. And Jesus, being Jesus, never misses a moment. And if you want to draw a crowd, have a financial disaster. That usually does it. And so this whole herd of pigs, which were represented someone or somebody's financial empire, is now dead and bobbing along in the top of the water, upside down with the little trotters gone. It's a disaster. Whole town comes out to see this. Now, do you see here that when Jesus comes to deal with the situation, he deals with it with power. Not just with words, with power. These men are set free, and this situation is dealt with. And now we have a whole crowd of people saying, go away, we can't handle this. But they're still left with the problem of these two men who are now set free by Jesus and who are now talking about what Jesus has done for them. That's just not going to go away. There are power encounters all the time with Jesus. So, how do we move forward? Well, we can experience his presence, but we can't produce it. We can't manufacture the things of the Spirit. There's no point in getting silly, and there's no point pretending, and there's no point pushing people over, and there's no point pretending that something's happened when it hasn't, because the real thing is just awesome. And when we contend for the truth, it is amazing what Jesus will do. And the intensification of the Spirit happens in all sorts of moments where power encounters are about to take place. Let's look at another three situations. Would you bring up our next slide, please? Three other things that we need to try and understand. One is that the presence of the Holy Spirit is often temporary for a moment. That's what I mean by that. He's with us always, of course, but sometimes he will come in a power encounter for that moment. It's always initiated by God, and it's always effective. Let's look at the last two. Initiated by God. Joel tells us in Joel 2:28, "And afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." This is a promise from God. This is something we should open ourselves to and embrace. Every single one of us sitting here should be saying, "Lord, I am so open to this. I am so willing to be used by you to share dreams and visions and prophecy that will build up and edify and even correct the local church." It's really important that we stop looking to people at the front and say, "Well, they're professionals, let them do that." That is just not right. It is for all of us to embrace the things of the Spirit. If we want to see people set free, we've got to be Spirit-filled people. Yes? Okay, you sure? Okay. Thirdly, it has to be effective. Let's look at that one. So our next slide, please. In Romans 15, 18 to 19, this is what we read. "I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done," here it comes, "by the power of signs and wonders." See that? It's Paul talking. And then he says, "through the power of the Spirit of God." So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, that's Albania, by the way, if you're wondering. "I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ." So Paul is saying, look, I want to proclaim Jesus, but I want you to see it with power. I want you to see the backing up of the gospel with the promise of the Spirit and the things of God. That's why Mark tells us at the end of his gospel, "In his name we will do these things." Talks of healing the sick. Talks of raising the dead and so on, so on. We have to be open to the Holy Spirit's presence if we want to see people set free. I'll let you into a little secret, okay? Many of you will know that I am a chartered counselor and hold all sorts of qualifications in that area. It doesn't work. Because at the core of human beings is a spirit, and it needs a spiritual answer. Now, counseling can help with all sorts of areas, but it's never going to change a person. It needs God to change a person in the core. That's so important. And how then do we be open to the Spirit's presence? Well, can I suggest there are five ways that we need to do that? The first is this, through Spirit baptism. How many of us are sitting here this morning and we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit? We've never encountered that. We've never prayed for that. We've never been prayed for that. Or maybe we just don't believe in that. How many of us here today, and I'm not looking for a show of hands, I'm just saying, just talk to yourself in your heart. And if you've never experienced the fullness of the Spirit, you know what? There are plenty of people around here who can pray for you afterwards today. That's an easy fix. Secondly, we are open to the Spirit's presence through spiritual gifts. We need to embrace the gifts of the Spirit. It doesn't take long in a conversation with someone who says, "I don't believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today." My reply is generally this: I believe you. Because there's nothing doing in that person's life or ministry. Words is not going to change people. It needs the power of God to transform people. Thirdly, We open ourselves to the Spirit's presence through prayer and intercession. If you're part of one of our multiple prayer groups in the church, that's fantastic. If you're not, get involved. There are plenty of opportunities, whether it's on a Tuesday morning or whether it's in a life group or whether it's in a partnership you have with someone else, or maybe you want to set up something else. There's lots and lots of ways that we can pray. Lots of ways. But it is important that we enter into that. And the fourth way that we can open ourselves to the Spirit's presence is through praise and worship. I thought we had a very powerful worship time this morning. I was very touched by our worship time this morning. I heard God speak to me very clearly this morning. We can never praise and worship enough. It's so important that we learn to do that. And fifthly, one of the ways that we are open to the Spirit's presence is through expectant attitudes. We should expect Him to move. We should expect Him to do what He says He'll do. When we pray for the sick, whether it's little ones or whether it's older ones, we should expect God to honor His word. We don't go through the motions. We do it believing. Yep. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're struggling with something, some physical thing or maybe something of the mind or whatever, you know, the Bible says, call for the elders of the church. They'll anoint you with oil, they'll pray for you, and a prayer of faith will raise up the sick. That's the word of God. So don't put up with difficulties. Reach out. Be free of those things. The Holy Spirit is the linchpin when it comes to binding and loosing. He reveals things to us regarding God's ways. In Corinthians 2, verse 11 and 12, this is what the Bible says. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we've received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. He reveals to us what God's doing. That's important. And secondly, He brings discernment to the nature of the demonic strong man. That's why I shared the bit about the pigs. Could it have been that there was some sort of idea that we'll hop into these pigs and the next Jew who comes along here who shouldn't be here, we'll just jump into him? Could that have been the assignment? Perhaps. But clearly Jesus has a discernment of what is going on, and that is the outcome. Time and time again we see Paul and the other apostles having a discerning of spirits and then a power encounter that sets people free. We need to do that. We are so conditioned today to always look for the physical illness and never look beyond it. Sometimes, there is a need to see beyond what our eyes see and use a discerning of spirits to set people free. And finally for this morning, the Holy Spirit guides us in the using of Scripture and in doing so, the strengthening of you and I. In Ephesians 6, 16 to 17, we read this. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we use the Scripture, it strengthens us. My final word. Maybe. note is, when Jesus was tempted by Satan himself, okay, he said, it is written. He went straight to God's word, and that was his response. Yep, he stood on the word of God, and so must you, and so must I. Because if God says it, we believe it, that settles it. Shall we pray? If anyone would like some prayer afterwards, just come on down, and there's plenty of us can pray with you. Father, thank you so much for this subject. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to just take off the lid and explore. And we pray, Lord, would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit this morning, that we might become your witnesses locally and further afield, Lord. Father, we don't want just to be some sort of happy, clappy bunch of people. Lord, we want to be effective disciples who make disciples. So please come, Lord, and fill us afresh in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Take a look at the things on the board. It's time for coffee and fellowship together. Don't forget to read your musings and memos. And have a great week, everybody. Have a great half term, and we'll see you all next week. God bless.